Hi everyone, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here. Just saying a huge thank you to all of you that have supported my charity appeal so far. For those that haven't heard about it, this September I'm going to be swimming 15 kilometres between five islands in Cornwall. I'll be swimming the Isles of Scilly, that's Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. I'm doing it because I want to, but also to raise money for CALM, the campaign against living miserably. It's a well-known statistic that 125 people in the UK die by suicide every week, and CALM run a free and confidential helpline for people to speak through their problems and ultimately to help prevent suicides. I'm looking to raise enough money to train two new phone workers to man those lines, and I'll be doing it by swimming the Isles of Scilly in Cornwall. If you're looking to support me, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate at justgiving.com. Just go there and search for Adam Swim Scilly. That's Adam Swim Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. All donations greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping me to support CALM. And now, on with Monkey Tennis.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello listeners, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here, arguably the host of Monkey Tennis, but let's not get bogged down in that viper's nest, not for the next couple of minutes anyway. You may have thought after last week's episode that we were done for the year, but hells no. We've got three more episodes for you in 2017, starting with today's. It's a recording all about Mid-Morning Matters Series 1, Episode 1, recorded in front of an intimate and invited audience at Warner Music HQ in London. They are doing a series of comedy chats and they asked us to come and be part of it and we were happy to oblige. That said, there is some devastating and tragic news about this week's episode. Unfortunately, due to promises about transport that were not kept, I was not able to be part of this episode. So for the most part, you're going to be hearing from Nick, Tom and Tom this week. My sincerest apologies for that. But don't worry, normal service will be resumed next week when you'll hear the first part of our two-part live Christmas special, recorded recently at London's Prince Charles Cinema. The first part coming next week will be us talking all about Knowing Me, Knowing Yule. And then following that, you'll be able to hear our chat with Michael the Geordie himself, Simon Greenall. A huge thank you to everybody who came down to the live show. It was fantastic to have 200 plus Allen fans in a room together. The atmosphere was electric. So thanks so much. Sorry I can't be more of a part of this week's episode, but you're in safe hands. Well, you're in Tom and Tom's hands are safe. Nick's are something of a mixed bag. On with the episode.
Monkey Tennis?
Smelly Alan Partridge.
Linton Travel Tavern seemed an obvious choice.
Monkey Tennis?
Sometimes people
at the BBC,
this point,
of all places. Be real.
Oh, guys.
Where's my assistant?
Didn't even have to prompt that. Edit that bit out.
Monkey Tennis? I wish things had turned out differently, but I'm glad they didn't. Monkey Tennis?
It will be called Alan's Show. I decided, and would be absolutely ace.
Monkey Tennis?
But needless to say, I had the last laugh.
Hello, podcast fans, and welcome to Monkey Tennis.
Oh, twice.
There are people here, who knew? Okay, so this week I will be taking the role of the host, Adam Brooks, who is he's not here yet. He is making his way from Bristol.
Yes.
So, I am Tom Dark, and I am joined by Nick Alder.
This is great banter.
And Tom Stab.
It really is.
Also, for those that aren't familiar, that's our producer Jed in the corner, but he's only allowed one word per episode. Yeah. So
just
stay tuned,
Jed.
And that might happen. So very exciting. Adam Brooks, who some people would consider to be the host of Monkey Tennis.
Mm.
Not necessarily us, but some other people. He's been delayed getting to us from Bristol, but he's already arrived at Heathrow Airport 10 minutes ago, and he's now being whisked to us via a black Toyota Prius. So
fantastic.
Any moment now he'll be with us.
That's good news. That's good.
Okay, So, just to give it a bit of an introduction to Monkey Tennis, for those that don't know, the Telegraph described us as one of the best TV and film podcasts. And, yeah, which is quite nice of them.
A gasp in the room.
Yeah, our iTunes reviews have included such glowing write-ups as...
A must listen.
Fantastic.
Bloody excellent.
Feeble.
Boring.
Pointless.
Also, our recent appearance at MCM Comic-Con in Manchester, our appearance there was greeted with equal levels of enthusiasm, with Facebook comments including...
Awful.
And...
what the fuck is this shit?
So, I think now you get a good idea of what you're in for.
The high standards.
Yeah, and yeah, if you haven't seen Mid-Morning Matters Series 1, Episode 1, this is not going to make a lot of sense for you, so good luck. So, yeah, let's crack on. So shall I start a bit of context?
I was going to say, contextualise. Yep. Where are we in the Alan universe? What's been happening? What's going on? Tom.
Okay, so in the Alan timeline here, this was Alan's return to broadcasting after quite a few years away. Mm. So Mid-Morning Matters first aired online. So it was part of a Foster's comedy initiative called Foster's Funny. So the episode we're talking about today, first went online on the 5th of November 2010, on Foster's Funny, the Foster's Funny website and YouTube, and then they were repackaged as a series on Sky in 2011. So what Sky did was they took two 10-minute episodes and made them into one 20-minute episode. Very clever what they did there.
Yeah, and apart from Anglican Lives, which is a one-off special in 2003, this is the first, and a comic relief appearance, this is the first Alan sort of product in 9 or so years since I'm Alan Partridge series 2. So it's been a big gap between shows, and I remember being so excited about when I first heard about this, because it's been nearly 10 years since we've seen anything from Alan.
I was worried it's essentially advertiser funded program.
I think we were all worried about that when it was announced.
That doesn't feel very Coogan, but it feels quite Alan.
But perhaps I could give you Alan's announcement regarding the series when it was launched.
This is great.
So Alan, not Coogan, very important to Alan Partridge, had this to say. I'm delighted to announce that after years as a regional broadcaster on North Norfolk Digital, my groundbreaking radio segment, Mid-Morning Matters, will now be accessible to a potential audience of billions via the World Wide Web, brackets, www, close brackets. That it has taken Foster's to help realise my dream of joining the information superhighway is a damning indictment of the established broadcasters whose shabby treatment of me on September 10th, 2001 was frankly shabby. I made dozens of calls the next day, all of which were ignored. My appreciation must go to Armando Iannucci and Baby Cow for ignoring the lies. God bless them. In the meantime, I look forward to hanging out and chilling with the MySpace generation. So that's a tee up for Mid-Morning Matters there. In this episode, Alan is talking to a cyclist, Jim Jones, whilst waiting for his celebrity guest, Anthea Turner. And then he goes on to struggle to talk military tactics with Special Forces Afghanistan veteran Tommy Gaskell. So, yeah, should we take it from the top intro sequence?
I was going to say, some of the graphics and computer effects in this are genuinely mind-blowing.
You're a big fan of Alan's graphic history, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. When we were covering some of the earlier series, they were very much pioneering in the use of graphics, and I feel like that's very much consistent here.
Well, I mean, so basically you've got some kind of International Space Station satellite beaming.
Why? It doesn't matter.
It's broadcasting important information around the globe. So
does
you
TV
have...
come down from space?
It's not TV, it's radio.
Does radio come down from space?
Yep, I guess so. It's on the internet. That's
how
it works.
Can confirm that?
Satellites beam the internet around.
We'll mark this down and come back
to
it.
Beam the internet around.
Come down from space.
What do you think satellites do?
Well, they're not broadcasting capital FM.
It could be. Digital signals.
Let's move on.
Anyway, what you have a series of excerpts of historic audio in this. So you have Churchill announcing the start of World War II. You have a broadcast about the JFK shooting. You have Mandela on apartheid. You have the fall of the Berlin Wall. You have Margaret Thatcher with the line, "The lady's not for turning." And then you have Alan Partridge. Yep. So I think classic bit of Alan there, kind of adding a sense of self-importance.
He's putting himself in that Premier League bracket.
He really is. So Mid-Morning Matters is as historically important as all of those events.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yep.
And I did think there's a nice little double gag that perhaps a lot of those moments you could maybe take as inspirational when it's Mandela being freed and the fall of the Berlin Wall, but then Alan's obviously put Margaret Thatcher in there, who's maybe not seen as quite so positive and inspirational.
In his mind,
but,
though.
But we know that Alan's a Tory, exactly. So there's a nice little double layer to that, I thought.
And to be fair, Alan is attempting to compile a database of Norwich's most least graceful buskers.
Which that's
is,
correct, yes.
Yeah, important, I think, important.
I mean, that's definitely the best audio excerpt they could take.
Yeah, yeah, it's on a par. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the intro sequence, and then we're into part one of the episode, which is titled Broth. Yeah. We'll get to the reasons for that in a bit.
I thought it was interesting at this point as well, just in terms of like the visualization of the series. It was very much kind of one, maybe two kind of camera angles, very much like contained. And kind of when I watched it for the first time, just thinking, is this going to be funny? Because it doesn't feel very Alan. But actually, I think just from a technical perspective, I think they covered it very well. In terms
quite
of
similar setup to like Marion and Jeff, that kind of thing. Like yeah. Just yeah. It's kind of like candid camera almost, yeah. Isn't it?
Simple yet effective.
Yeah, indeed. Cheap.
also very cheap. Yes,
thanks, Fosters.
Yeah, and I thought my first note I had was this is the first time you meet sidekick Simon.
Yes.
So any Partridge fans, you know, he's not been in the Partridge world until this point. Sidekick Simon played by Tim Key.
Were you aware of Tim Key before this? I wasn't.
I don't think I was actually.
Yes, but I don't think I'd ever like seen him do anything.
Yeah, I think
yeah, I might have heard him do a few things on Six Music or something, but not
maybe
as
a bit of a big break for him.
Yeah, definitely. A very large break, as Alan would say. Yeah, so we've got Alan in studio with sidekick Simon, and the opening question that Alan is taking a phone in on is, you're stuck on a desert island, you're allowed one condiment, what's it to be? So, question to the group, you're on a desert island, you've got one condiment, what's it to be?
Shall I go first?
You go.
Well, I would want mustard, but I'd like that to include variations of, i.e. Dijon, whole grain.
Well, you're allowed one.
Is that allowed?
No, absolutely, you're allowed one.
But suddenly, under the mustard umbrella.
No, you're allowed one, you have to choose one.
I didn't think the question was clear.
yeah, you're allowed one. That's right.
Okay. Just ketchup then.
well, I did think if you're on a desert island, like mayonnaise isn't going to work. That's going to go off.
That's going to go off. Yeah, good point.
You need something that's going to work in a heat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your answer then?
Well, I thought could maybe have like some sriracha sauce, something like that. Would that be allowed?
Oh, I've heard of Tim Key, sriracha sauce. Behave.
Someone's
sorry.
Jealous.
Yeah. Sorry, it's 2-1 in favour of sriracha.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
There we go.
I knew we should have brought the bell.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It goes with everything.
Is it worth touching on what Alan's listeners give as answers?
Please talk us through that. Yeah.
John in Sprouston says ketchup. Harry in Bodham says mustard.
Both fine.
Yeah, I think I'm with Harry on this one. That mustard
there are approved condiments.
There's condiments underneath it. Yep. Kev in Norwich says gravy, which Alan says no, that's a hot sauce.
Correct. I would agree with him on that point.
Then he says bisto, which is a type of gravy.
Of gravy.
Again, and then finishes it off with Branston pickle, which is a relish.
I'm with Alan on all of these.
Yeah, I mean, just technically, he is right. Yeah.
He's factually correct. You can't knock him for that. The only other note I had on this scene is that Psychic Simon has a piece of paper in front of him. And I just couldn't understand what's supposed to be on the piece of paper. You can see there's a thick black line and then a thick black circle underneath.
Noughts and crosses?
Yeah, it's just, if you go back and look, it's like, what is that meant to be? I don't understand it. So that's my note, but I don't have the answer.
We'll have to go back and look.
Yep. So yeah, more insights. Stay tuned for those.
Where does radio come from?
Is it from space?
And what's on Psychic Simon's
paper? Keep a list.
Yep.
Yeah, so Alan is basically waiting for his special studio guest, Anthea Turner.
Mm-hmm. The Body Turner.
Well, one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Why is she called Anthea the Body Turner?
Is that not just his nickname for her?
Well, I didn't find anything online that referenced it, so I kind of assume.
She did quite a few VHSs back in the day. She was quite famous.
And Alan's got all of those, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely, and he's watched them several times. So, Alan describes her as one of the most beautiful women in the world and asks Psychic Simon which man... basically fancy her, and the answers are Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles,
which Alan basically finds hilarious as well.
He
control his laughter.
Any blind man,
just any blind man.
And then,
although any blind man, I'm pretty sure he's like, that's a bit too far. Like the first two were funny.
He's taken the joke too far, hasn't he? A bit like this podcast.
Stretched out too far.
He needs to rein him back in.
Yeah.
Although he doesn't, because Simon goes on to describe Anthea Turner as the Ford Cabriolet of middle-aged women.
Which, if you're the most beautiful woman in the world, compare that with, is that car the most beautiful car in the world?
Yeah.
Surely not.
But again, in Alan's mind.
But Alan loves it. He says to Simon, you're surreally funny, which is why we booked you. Which I thought was quite interesting, because having been through the iPartridge book, so Alan makes out like he just discovered Simon in the pub, just like having a laugh. Is the implication actually North Norfolk Digital North Norfolk's Best Music Mix, have forced him to basically acquire a sidekick because on his own he's doing a rubbish radio show.
Well, spoiler alert, from our podcast about the book, we learn that Alan is an unreliable narrator.
We
so
do
therefore,
know this.
Anything that he says, we basically consider
fake news,
a lie.
Fake news.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with what you said.
Okay.
Yeah. Good, right, we decided that. Would you like some Anthea Turner facts?
Hit us.
I mean, you struggled to find them, clearly, so I've got loads. We could be here for like an hour just on Anthea Turner.
You just do it.
Okay, so kind of the famous TV credits for her. Top of the Pops presenter, 88 to 91. Blue Peter presenter, 92 to 94. Famously made Tracy Island, which some people here may remember.
Right. There again, I didn't know that.
Did anyone here try and make Tracy Island?
No.
No?
Do you even know what Tracy Island is, Nick?
Thunderbirds.
Okay, good. We got that far. I'll take it. GMTV presenter, 94 to 96. Presented The Lottery, Wish You Were Here, etc., etc. Now, this gets a bit more fun. In December,
speaking on behalf of everyone,
in December 1996, she was sacked from GMTV after co-presenter Eamon Holmes issued an ultimatum to their boss to sack her or he would quit. And I thought, that's the sort of thing Alan would do.
Yeah.
Well, I think Eamon Holmes, you could kind of like apply a lot of partridge
yeah.
to
Oh, yeah,
Eamon
yeah.
Holmes,
I think
definitely.
He's one of several kind of TV presenters.
It's Anthea
that,
or me. And yeah. they chose.
And they chose Eamon Holmes. Was that the right choice?
Well, what's Anthea Turner doing now? I feel like she's basically retired.
No, she had a bit of a comeback. So basically what happened...
She had a bit of a comeback. She bounced back.
So to use the Wikipedia wording,
yep.
in the year 2000, her image took a further blow when it emerged she'd been paid £450,000 to eat a Cadbury's chocolate bar in her wedding photos for AK
what?
Magazine.
I mean, you would.
I need them
yeah,
for
I mean...
Unless
I,
it had nuts.
I don't have a problem with that. If a magazine's saying to you, we'll give you £500,000 to eat a chocolate bar in a photo,
yeah.
yes, please, pay
for
my wedding.
Her.
Thanks very much.
And Eamon Holmes is on Channel 5 now. I know who's winning.
Yeah, yeah. Who's had the last laugh.
Yeah.
But, so that incident is jokingly referred to as Flakegate, apparently.
Very good.
And it seems like off the back of that, in 2003, she came 15th in a Channel 4 poll of 100 Worst Britons. Seems excessively harsh.
A bit harsh. Yeah. Definitely at least
bit unwarranted.
Worse.
Yeah. I don't blame her for taking the money, personally.
No, so, I'm with her.
So, Anthea, we're with you.
Yeah.
So, good. should we move on and talk about brunch?
Yes. I thought this was quite surreal, to be honest. It was kind of like, you know, in keeping with Alan's humour, but at the same time, I just thought that this was slightly surreal. I don't know if it's worth explaining the setup of essentially what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
I was sort of throwing to you then when I was
to be honest, I haven't got any notes on it.
Okay, well,
Tom. So
okay, don't worry, I'll sort this out.
Edit that bit out.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, Alan and Simon have been for... Well, they're trying to decide whether they recently went for lunch or brunch, which Alan decides to call blunch.
Oh, I have got a note on this.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh,
we'll
in.
Come to that, yeah. They refer to it as blunch, but I thought technically that's kind of... Brunch is already lunch and breakfast combined, so isn't that breakfast, lunch and lunch in one word?
Yeah.
It's two lunches. And
I mean, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's fine. So Alan's struggling to remember what he had to eat for
yeah,
their brunch.
Again, this bit's a bit surreal.
And then laughs for a very awkward amount of time.
Yeah.
And then, I counted, there are 13 seconds of dead air whilst he tries to remember what he had to eat.
And as we all know,
dead air is a
crime.
I
particularly enjoy Steve's face acting in this. I think it's actually very good how he goes from being quite jovial to regressing to actually being quite panicked in the face of not being able to remember, worrying his mind's gone.
And can you remember what he had for lunch?
Psychic Simon had the typhus cakes.
Is it Kippers?
It is Kippers, yes.
Kippers.
So Nick has watched it, that's good to know.
Yes.
First time?
So, after he's remembered that he did have Kippers for lunch, you have this exchange where Alan and Simon both call each other fairies.
Alan and a says cheeky tit.
Yeah, Alan calls Simon a cheeky tit.
It's a bit risky,
and then
you have
the rapport of this is just great banter. So
it really is.
He's loving having somebody to riff off in the studio at that point, even if they're being
quite
offensive.
I can't believe that's suitable or allowed on the radio.
Well, I don't think Alan's ever been the most PC broadcaster.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, technically speaking, would that not...
DAB, no one's listening anyway.
But wouldn't they, like, cut the satellite feed or something at that point?
Well, I mean, earlier you were saying it wasn't in the sky.
Make your mind
up. Okay, we'll come back to it.
And at the end of this section, Psychic Simon is about to go through a top 10 list of things not to say to a customs officer. So my questions are, do you think when they were writing this, there was a list of those things? And can we wildly speculate what they might have been?
Oh, God. I hadn't prepared for that question.
No, I did not either. Something about bombs.
Well, something about bombs, yeah, basically, un-PC things, probably things that are slightly racist, etc. I think, because Psychic Simon always like pushes the boundaries of acceptability and taste, much like Alan does as well.
No, like what?
I don't know. I mean, I've not written it. But I just kind of note that whatever it was going to be on that list was definitely going to be a bit too close to the bone for morning radio.
So do you think Alan recognised that and swiftly went in and...
No, I just think he had to do a travel update.
Yeah, he had to go to travel.
Fair enough.
It couldn't wait.
and then I think that takes us on to focus on...
Cycling.
Which, to be fair,
it's actually... It just works, wasn't it? Sometimes it works.
See, this needs no rehearsal, which I think is actually quite evident, to be honest. It's quite obvious.
Yeah, it's not rehearsed. Yeah. But I thought that Alan's focus on insert sport here actually worked quite well.
You would listen to that as a radio segment.
It's a versatile feature that you could cover a number of subjects.
Well, it doesn't have to be sport, does it? It's just focus on
something.
Satellites.
My God, I mean, so it's even better than I thought it was. it's really good.
It's really, really varied. Yeah. So the cyclist Alan has in the studio, he is part of a campaign to get kids cycling. He's called Jim Jones. Mm-hmm. So Alan opens the interview by double checking he's not the Jim Jones that led the Jonestown massacre in true Alan tactful style.
Yep.
So I thought, question to the group, anybody got any fun massacre facts?
Oh, have you prepared for this question?
Absolutely not.
I looked into it and I thought, no, let's not go there. Yeah. So we'll move on.
I feel like you've got some.
No, I genuinely
don't. Okay, good. Yeah. At least you're prepared.
Then Alan has to stop Jim cycling immediately straight away because it's too noisy.
Yeah, well, this kind of just sums up the whole feature, doesn't it? Like, at no point does Jim actually...
What, the feature that you like?
No, the versatility. I like the versatility.
Okay, right.
Alan's interviewing technique is obviously dreadful. He doesn't give Jim any opportunity to speak or explain the campaign that he's running to try and help children to get cycling, get fit, get healthy, improve the lives of kids. Alan is not interested in that. He spends way too much time querying, is he on the sex offenders list, good or bad?
we'll come back to that in a minute.
Yeah. Ask him all these irrelevant questions, and it kind of just sums up Alan's interviewing style.
And I thought it's just a very consistent Partridge character trait that, of course, he hasn't taken the time to check or test the equipment in the studio to find out whether the bike could make too much noise for it to be fit for broadcast. He doesn't care.
And I did
make a little note that this is the first mention we get of Alan messing up the trail line for the radio station. So the proper line is North Norfolk's best music mix, but Alan always forgets the north part of North Norfolk and has to say it again. So that's the first time this happens, and that's a very consistent thing in pretty much every episode, and every time mentions it in the book.
I wonder who judges what the best sort of measure of the music mix is.
Definitely not Alan.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh no, he does go a now wizard later on, doesn't he?
I assume the Now compilations...
He's playing Wizard.
I assume it's the Now compilations that the high watermark of the best music mix.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not adding to that.
Okay.
I'll explain why that's funny later.
Okay, fine.
Don't worry about it. So they then get... continuing the Jim Jones, Jonestown Massacre theme... Alan mistakenly says that the massacre was carried out with the use of soup, and somebody, a listener, calls in to basically point out that he's got that wrong, mm-hmm. and the answer was it was
pop.
Pop, not broth.
Yeah, pop, not broth.
So Kool-Aid, not soup.
Kool-Aid, that's
so right. How did he get that quite so wrong?
Well, I mean, to be honest, you say, why did he get that so wrong? He also asks Jim if he's met a child the size of an ox. I mean, I don't really understand where the relevance of that
did either
comes
of you two...
Obese children.
Yeah, did either of you Google children the size of an ox?
No, but I hope you did.
I did.
Yes.
There are no children, like specific results for children the size of an ox, but I did find the world record for the world, for the largest child. It was a boy from Thailand who weighed 30 stone at the age of 11.
Fucking hell.
I mean, well done. It's good effort.
Yeah.
A lot of effort to get that far.
Yeah, true.
So, sorry, at what age?
11.
11.
30 stone at 11.
Do we think he's still alive now?
I don't know. That news story is from last year, so
probably
hopefully.
Not. Probably not. Like, probably not.
I said hopefully. You just went no.
No.
Probably no. He's dead.
He's gone.
Get in touch if you...
yeah, drop us a line. Yeah, so Alan asks Jim Jones if he's clear to work with children.
Absolutely.
Follows it up with, you know, you're on the register, the good one. And then I like the reference. I think Alan basically makes a suggestion that the Norfolk area has a bit of a paedophile problem. He says, awful business, but we've had some cracking phone-ins about it. And then he goes on to say, no, he's got.
Yes.
Now, despite what I may have suggested
I know
about,
where you're going with this.
I may have implied this about Wally Banter in the past.
Yes.
And Wally Banter of Wally Banter's Junk Box fame.
Yes.
Looking most like a pedo.
I thought that's where you were going digital. With this.
But, well, having covered the iPartridge book quite recently, yep. Obviously Alan does name and shame that offender. To quote from the book iPartridge, the pop aficionado and Jonathan King alike Ben E. Parry was quietly moved on.
Yes.
So we know who he's talking about.
Bringing
now.
It full circle there.
So they also reference cycling Land's End to John O'Groats. Now, has anybody here ever done that?
I haven't. Have
I
you,
haven't.
Tom?
Have you, Nick?
I have done it, yes.
Excellent. Tell us somebody.
Little room of applause there.
Thank you.
Don't egg him on.
No, you don't need to egg him on. He's already done it.
I mean, yeah. he did it ages ago. So
2 years ago.
Tell us some funny stories about that.
It was pretty tough, pretty grueling, but just one of those things you've got to do, really.
Yeah, man.
You just had to do it.
Yeah.
So Jim Jones says he took what were they, 11 and 12 year olds?
Yes.
So do you honestly think that 11 and 12 year olds could do that journey?
No.
Okay.
I really struggled.
You struggled.
I really, really struggled with it. But yeah, it was good fun, but I wouldn't do it again. It was... We met people on doing it on holiday. It was awful and insufferable. And
so,
I wouldn't do it again.
One quick quiz question, without looking at my notes. Can you remember what the distance is from Land's End to John O'Groats in miles?
I'm going to guess and say 978.
100 off. It's 874 miles.
Is that why it took us an extra day?
Went round a roundabout loads.
Did you actually do it, or did you just drive it like Alan did? We busted you.
I think we should also cover off a listener question that Alan gets.
Please do.
This again is just further proof that Alan's interviewing style and screening process is woefully inadequate. So a listener writes in and says, is there a case to put overweight kids in their own fat schools? You could house them in their own dormitories, lock them in, push pieces of Rivita smothered in Philadelphia Light, that's probably crucial
Very
to
important.
Note, under the door. That way they become educated and thin. And to be fair to Alan, he does say, it's a little bit extreme, but you can't fault his logic.
So you're an advocate of that.
So if you want to sort of work this around.
Or argue with the potential results.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I think he's nailed it.
Yeah.
There you go, government. There's so we should, to childhood
we should push
obesity.
That forward.
Yeah.
Great. Action accordingly.
Okay, yeah, right. Absolutely. That's approved. That's happening. Alan says that he's driven Land's End to John O'Groats. And also he talks about driving the M25 clockwise and anti-clockwise.
It's one of the best UK drives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that. So he talks about listening to Deacon Blue during that journey.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we all knew this was coming.
Yeah, I think you've been
coming.
Waiting for this.
Yeah.
Who wants to start on Deacon Blue? What have you got? Anything?
I've got a few things. Deacon Blue expert, Nick Alder.
About expert, I just recognise that they're one of the pioneering figures in pop music in the last 35 years.
I mean, there you go, that's all we need.
Stop
me if I'm wrong.
So, Nick, since
you're wrong.
Nick, you're such a big fan, how many million albums do you think they've sold in the UK?
Oh, God.
Or actually, total sales, maybe not. Maybe global, actually.
Mm-hmm. Global total sales for Deacon Blue.
Yeah, one of your favourite bands.
I mean, it's millions, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
More specific. We need more specific than millions.
I'm hiding my notes.
I'm going to say 198.
I'm going to go lower.
Yep. Just pick a number, any number, so we can move on to the next bit.
Can I give Tom a quick recap here? Deacon Blue.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the answer in front of me. So, okay. Yeah.
5 million.
6 million, that's okay, close. I'll accept.
198 million.
The world we live in.
Not far off.
I won't do these as quiz questions, it'll take too long, but they had 12 UK top 40 singles along with 2 UK number one albums. And ooh, I did listen to a couple of tracks on Spotify today and I thought, yeah, it is just great driving music.
Fantastic.
Alan knows what he's doing. Okay, and after that part, you have Alan going to read out what should essentially be the script read for a jingle, and he says, "This is North Norfolk Digital, sustaining and maintaining our core listenership in an increasingly fragmented marketplace." I love that. There's a split second pause, and he realises he wasn't supposed to read that out. It was an internal memo.
I've read an internal memo. I shouldn't have read that to you.
It's just, I love it. Like, the first time I watched that bit, you hear him say it, and you think, that's a bit
weird,
and then
isn't
he
it?
Comes in saying, "I've made a mistake." I love it. Yeah, so Alan gives Jim Jones an award for services to the larger child.
An Owl Ha, that's an Alan's Local Hero Award, which again, I thought was quite
clever. Like that, yeah.
Quite clever.
It's not engraved, engrave it yourself.
Yeah,
versatile.
Do that yourself.
Yep. Versatile.
Yeah, it's blank, do what you like with it, basically. And yeah, then Alan commences his own cycling challenge.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've got a quick note here. Like, he's trying to do 10 miles in 30 minutes. I mean, the note here just
well,
says.
Okay, so yeah, Alan... So doesn't he initially say he's going to do 30 miles in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And then he backtracks.
He's like 180 miles an
hour. And reverses it. So yeah, go on.
Well, my question was, I'm not much of a cyclist. I don't know if you are. You've done the longest
one. You've got a resident cyclist here, yeah.
A resident cyclist. Is that achievable or is that quite hard?
Well, can I just tell you, it's only 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that hard.
I would have said in my prime, a couple of years ago, I could have done that.
A couple of years ago, be real.
But, you know. My winter blubbers crept up. Not as fit
your
as
winter
I used
blubbers
to be.
crept up in August.
It's not winter though. It's summer.
Yeah. No. It's I pile August. It on for the summer. Then I try and lose it, but I can't over the summer, so it's back in for winter.
This sounds very dubious.
If anything,
to me.
You should be premium beach body right now.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, I'm really not.
He's
I'm
very
really
much not.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, basically, Alan needs to in 30 minutes needs to travel at a speed of 20 miles an hour, and that was basically my note as well. That should be very achievable.
Is that achievable?
I'd say, joking aside, it's actually quite hard. I mean, especially on the open road.
We've got deadly serious now.
Yeah, joking aside.
Yeah. When you've got undulating, that's up and down.
He's on a stationary bike. It's not. There's no hills.
Yeah, I guess if you think it like that, sort of put it in the real world. I guess you could do it.
Okay.
So it depends on how fit he is.
I guess you could
right,
do
there's
it. There you go. The definitive answer.
Conclusive there.
Yeah, I guess
good.
You could do it. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Nick.
I did also make a note that when he's cycling, he's right at the back of the studio. So surely the mic wouldn't really pick him up either. I thought that was a bit ridiculous. Maybe they've got
continuity errors there.
Yeah.
Comms bombs.
Another comms bomb.
Yeah. And yeah, he quits the cycle and he sounds like he's about to have a heart attack and he's absolutely dripping in sweat. And then Anthea Turner arrives.
I mean, if it's your crush, like the woman that you kind of...
One of the most beautiful women in the world.
Yeah, you don't want to be seeing her in that state.
But unfortunately, he's left it too late. He's got no choice.
It's happened.
And
it's
I done. Did check. So you do hear a voiceover of Anthea saying, "Hi, Alan." It's not the real Anthea Turner, unfortunately. It's an actress.
Fair enough.
Bit of a shame. Well,
it's a shame. It's a shame. That's the end of that episode, isn't it?
Well, that's the end of part one of that episode, yeah.
It is indeed.
End of part one.
Yeah. So, as we kind of explained, so that was the very first episode in terms of how it went online on YouTube.
Yep.
On Sky, there is a second part, which we're just going to cover now, which is called Muppet.
Yes. So we open with Alan and Psychic Simon.
Yep.
As always, there's a humorous...
Always
comedy.
The same.
Always the
well,
same.
Well, then if it is always the same, actually.
There's a humorous comedy jingle for Psychic Simon, which... kind of uses the SS in a kind
yeah,
of like...
Yeah, so this is the first time in this series we hear the Sidekick Simon jingle.
Yes. Certainly with the SS overtone.
But
as well.
This one has the added bonus of Ezekiel and SS marching boots.
Yes. So I think this was broadcast in 2011. Doesn't feel so funny anymore, does it?
No. Makes you think. I don't think it was appropriate even in 2010, 2011 either.
No.
That's the joke.
Yeah, that's the gag.
That's the gag.
Right. I'll make a note of that. That's,
yeah,
that's
okay.
the joke.
Right. Do you want to add that to your list?
Yes. Ooh. Internet is the SS. Yep, fine. Yep.
Got
yeah.
it. Good. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, the Psychic Simon theme, obviously we hear that a lot more throughout the series. And I think it's safe to say Simon fucking hates it.
Really?
If you look at his face, you look at the expression.
Funny jingle, to be fair.
Yeah, but if you look at the expression on his
quite
face
clever.
Every time Alan plays it, he's not a fan.
Okay, I'll look out for that.
Yeah. Okay, so then Alan's phone-in question mm-hmm. on this episode is: which band names would you like to see become reality?
I need to prepare an answer for this, so I'm going to look at the wall.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to ask.
Huh?
We can just go through what the...
I've got one.
Okay, I'll ask in a minute. Okay. So to cover the options he gets from his listeners, Carl phones in with Crowded House because his wife and kids have left.
Oh, which, that's a nice one, isn't it?
That's nice. And then you have Adrian with he would like to see Thin Lizzy become a reality because his wife has a pituitary gland problem. It's nice as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Has anyone got anything to add to that?
No, but I am keen to see where you've got to in terms of banter.
I've got nothing. I'm not ready.
I mean, Bare Naked Ladies, could that be one?
Oh, that's
very
a good.
Very good.
One.
Good.
One. Yeah.
Why would you like to? Why would you like that to become a
Biffy Clyro?
No, I'm going to stop you there. I don't need to know.
Well, I kind of put them in the same category as Deacon Blue, pioneering pop music for the last 30 years.
But if they become a reality, why would you like that to happen? You confused yourself with the question, haven't you? Yeah.
Can you speak to Tom again?
Yeah, okay. Tom, what have you got?
Biffy Clyro.
Why?
I don't know what it...
Right, talk us through
why?
That.
I don't know what it means, so I'd like to see it.
Right,
fair
answer.
The logic's
fair.
It's the only one I can see. It's the only one I can recognise.
Let's move on.
So we move on to Alan's tongue twister phone-in. And also at the beginning of this section, Alan goes to play Def Leppard. He says, turn it up, Norfolk, and then has to correct himself with North Norfolk. Yes, again.
Okay.
So the phone-in, the listener that we hear phone-in for the tongue twister...
I think you should point out at this point as well, he's asked for under sevens as well.
Oh, that is very important.
Very much kids that are phoning in.
So we have,
so they can do tongue twisters with their undeveloped mouths.
Yes.
Alan says.
Yes.
As Alan says.
That's what he wants.
Not me. Very important to distinguish that.
So we have Emily on the phone, who I believe is she's six. Six-year-old Emily.
Oh, it's cute.
Lovely Emily. So she phones in. Shall I?
Hit us with the tongue twister.
Yeah, I've got it here. What gets wetter the more it dries?
Now, does anybody know what the answer to that might be?
Well, we've got a hand at
just
the back.
Just shout it out.
Towel.
Correct.
Towel. If
there you
can
go. Get the bell for that.
Can we get him a Biffy Clyro album? Or a Deacon Blue?
We'll get you a Deacon Blue album. Yeah. I'll send you a link on Spotify. But unfortunately, that's not a tongue twister, is it? It's a riddle.
Oh, and Emily does get chastised and humiliated by Alan.
Yeah, essentially, Alan says, sod it, calls her useless and cuts her off while she's shouting for a mummy in the background.
Who put you through? Is it a lady? Does it sound like she smokes too much?
Oh, that's it. And poor Emily's going, I don't know. Yeah, she doesn't know what's going
confused,
on.
Bless her.
And then Alan confesses to Simon, I still think I was right to cut her off. Simon's like, yeah, absolutely.
Alan does put out a call out to people that are listening as well and insists that kids are reasonably media savvy if they are going to...
Emily's got a bit more work to do,
basically. She's not quite there, bless her.
No.
Although, is Alan reasonably media savvy? I don't think he is.
He'd like to think he was, but he's definitely not.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'd probably move on to Tommy Gaskill now.
Tommy Gaskill, let's move on. Survival and naturalist expert. Sorry, I've read that as naturalist.
Did you say naturist?
Yes, move on.
Okay. Is it back to Bare Naked Ladies again?
Yes.
He's obsessed. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. Alan calls him a survival and naturalist expert, but that doesn't sound like the right word. What, a naturalist expert?
Yeah,
a survival expert,
I didn't know
I would understand.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what
that meant. I don't know. Maybe that's the joke, to be fair, but I'm actually not
that
sure.
That might be the joke.
We'll add that to
it
our list.
It could be the joke.
Yeah. So Tommy Gaskill is played by Nigel Lindsay.
Mm.
Now, come on, Partridge fans, where else have we seen him?
Alpha Papa.
Four Lions.
Yep. Anything else? I'll tell you what, he appears in Alan's show. Well, okay, Alpha Papa's one. He also appears in I'm Alan Partridge.
Does he?
Yeah, he is at the Norfolk Bravery Awards.
Brewery Awards.
He's at the Norfolk Bravery Awards as kind of like one of the larger group that Alan's talking to. Yeah.
And
obviously in Alpha Papa, he plays Jason Tresswell. Mm-hmm. But other credits worth mentioning. Four Lions, who also appeared in Brass Eye and the Armando Iannucci shows. But also, my favourite...
Doctors, Casualty?
Well, we're going in that vein. He's been in Silent Witness, Waking the Dead, The Bill and Casualty.
Yes.
So he's done all the important stuff.
Ticking
That's
all
what
the boxes.
Counts. So he's a survival and naturalist expert, possibly.
Whatever
survival
that means,
expert,
we don't
whatever.
Know.
So they start kind of trading stories about survival stories.
Yeah.
Stories
I
of
think
nature.
We need to pose what Alan's sort of hypothetical scenario is.
Yep.
Oh, well, I think we'll come to that in a minute because I just
quite
wanted
long.
To. Yeah. I think that's quite a major section to get to. Before we get to that, I just wanted to talk about. you know, when Tommy's basically been in Afghanistan in basically hand-to-hand combat situations, the best story Alan has is that he got stung by nettles on a very long walk.
No, but that's good because he used the environment around him to treat himself.
He was resourceful.
Quite relevant. Yeah,
you can't knock him for that.
And it's relevant for what they're talking about.
But he also claims his nickname is Ape. Do we think that's also bullshit?
Yes. Ape.
No one's ever called him Ape.
AP.
No. AP. And also Tommy's baffled by that nickname as well. I just don't know what's going on. So Tommy was in Afghanistan, and you can tell that's what Alan really wants to talk to him about, even though he's been booked to essentially talk about survival techniques when it comes to being in the wild, not in combat situations.
It's like Jim Jones from earlier. He's not interested in asking about anything that the guest would want to speak about.
No, he wants to talk about himself.
It's just, yeah, Jim Jones and massacres and are you on the good or bad, you know, list? I don't know why I sort of balked at saying sex offenders list there. It was a bit weird, wasn't it?
It was a bit awkward.
You were quite camp there as well, didn't you?
Did I? Yeah.
Should we give the outline of the hypothetical?
Yes. So, bullet points.
Basically, the hypothetical scenario is thus, that they're...
I've got it here verbatim if you
okay,
want
go,
to
go,
read
go,
it.
Okay,
I've angled it.
Okay, so the last Osprey?
Osprey.
The last Osprey in Britain is killed by a football. The Osprey egg is stolen and scrambled for a Russian oligarch's breakfast, who eats it without one iota of remorse in his leather jacket and simply wipes his kips and goes, simple.
Lips. That's my bad typing. I should have read this. Wipes his lips and goes, simples.
Now, should we just do that again?
It's fine. Sorry.
So I thought the bit about a Russian oligarch saying simples, mm-hmm. is that some kind
I
of...
I think it might be.
Is that a dig at...
No, I think it's a friendly nod.
To Simon Greenall.
Yeah, is it a dig or a friendly nod at the basically compare the meerkat, compare the market adverts?
Mm-hmm. As voiced by Partridge as alumni by Simon Greenall,
Simon
Michael
Greenall,
the Geordie.
AKA Michael the Geordie.
Yep.
But
I think it's friendly. I think it's all in
quite
it's
like
good
it.
It's
nice and subtle.
Just
nice and subtle.
Banter.
It really is.
I think we should move on to develop this because they do go into more detail about this.
We need to talk about Bill Oddie and the radicalised RSPB sleeper cell in Wookiee Hole.
Yeah, so.
Of course.
Tommy is kind of like baffled about this question that Alan's put to him, doesn't really understand what he's asking him. So he has to sort of repeat it back to him. So he's saying, if an RSPB neo-fundamentalist was radicalised, Oddie has sacrificed himself and the rest are held up in Wookiee Hole.
Yeah. Remember, in this scenario, Bill Oddie is going ape shit. That's
yes,
important
and has
to
taken
remember.
Out a couple on a weekend break. And I was sent in to neutralise them. How would I proceed? Which is kind of essentially what Alan has asked him.
Yeah.
So it's a question that doesn't really make any sense. There's no real
You don't need
to
the
it.
Russian oligarch or the RSPB no. or Bill Oddie. Basically, what Alan's asking is, how would you take down an assailant?
He's shit-chatting and then he finally
he
gets
absolutely
the point.
Is.
Bill Oddie is a terrorist. Logical, do you think?
It is an Osprey, to be fair. He's, you know, he's
you know what? He probably would go apeshit about that, actually.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So really, Alan sort this through. He's nailed it.
Yeah. I think he's on with that one.
We'll come back to Bill Oddie in a minute, but I thought, is it worth delving into how Tommy deals with these assailants, perhaps?
It's quite brutal, isn't
well,
it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so Tommy goes on to show Alan how he would neutralise a terrorist threat with very violent and graphic descriptions. And whilst he's talking this through, I thought Alan essentially looks like he's about to be sick at any moment.
Well, at one point he does go, oh God.
Yeah, he looks genuinely horrified. And it is quite gruesome, particularly when Tommy goes on to describe slitting an assailant's throat so it yawns back like a Muppet's mouth. Lovely image.
Remember, this is daytime radio being broadcast down from space, potentially.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Alan looks like he's about to throw up. Tommy says, any questions? Psychic Simon is nodding in the background and just kind of half whispers, which Muppet?
Yeah, I was thinking psychic Simon at this point is just like checked out. He doesn't care. Like,
I think he's kind of just shocked and horrified by what Tommy's just talked through.
Yeah.
And then 6-year-old Emily's back on the line, worried that Muppets have been hurt as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to the group is, which Muppet would you kill and how would you do it?
Ooh.
Nick, let's start with you. I did ask you to prep this as well.
Did you?
Yep.
Ruin the secrets behind this podcast.
Behind the curtain.
Would you want to go first? Because I did smash it with the Deacon Blue answer earlier.
Beaker.
Good
hammer.
Beaker with a hammer.
Beaker with a hammer. He's annoying, isn't he?
Yeah. He's got to take him down. Nick, what you got?
Just name a Muppet
it's a bit
and an
like
instrument
Cluedo.
Of murder.
Name a Muppet, name a
instrument.
Weapon.
Yeah.
I don't really know loads of names apart from the really obvious ones.
Go for the obvious
try
one,
that.
Then.
Well, I like Gonzo, though. I don't want to kill him. And also Kermit. We like Kermit. I miss Piggy. I like Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy's quite violent, though.
Oh, God, yeah. Off with your head. It's Miss Piggy.
Right, so you're decapitating Miss Piggy.
Yes.
For me, I'm going for Elmo, 357 Magnum.
No, too far.
I'm pushing the boundaries, guys.
Too far.
You don't know what he's like in real life.
Do you?
Cuddly. Absolutely.
Cuddly, yes, exactly. You've gone too far.
So, back to poor little Emily, 6 years old on the phone. She's worried about Bill Oddie as well. Is Bill Oddie dead? She asks. No, Bill Oddie's fine, says Alan.
He's alive and well.
Well, he's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, would you like to know some of Bill Oddie's recent tweets? Because they do make for some interesting reading.
Yes, please.
All right, let's talk through that. So, within the last couple of weeks, some of the latest tweets from Bill Oddie. Toothache, tricky dilemma. Do I lose a right molar and learn to chew only on the left side, or spend a lot of money on root canal? I mean, it is a dilemma, isn't it? I don't know what the right answer there is.
This is brilliant.
Okay, I got more, don't worry. And then later that day, he went on to share the following series of tweets. I was offered a humongous amount of money to do Celebrity Big Brother, but it clashed with the bird fair at Rutland Water this weekend.
Is that real?
This is all genuine Bill Oddie tweets.
Well, if he'd done that, he could have paid for his root canal.
Well, exactly. And he went on, reality shows I've been asked to be on, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, twice, Celebrity Big Brother, Strictly, and The Voice, brackets, honestly. Now,
what?
I don't understand him being on The Voice.
He's getting confused there, isn't he?
I think he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Did he mean Time Team, maybe?
Just anything not The Voice. But he did also go on the final tweet of this series. But I love doing Marigold Hotel. Love Island, I think not. I think we can all agree we don't want to see Bill Oddie on Love Island. Any natural history shows, I used to enjoy doing those. Bird Fair, of course. So Bill Oddie's kind of pitching out there. If anybody wants to on a natural history show or on a bird fair, he is available.
But
he's not available for Love Island.
I am about to follow Bill Oddie on Twitter.
I recommend it. Bill Oddie is fine in a way, yeah. I would say.
He's alive. We know that much. He's alive. He's tweeting.
Exactly.
Done.
The last note I had about Tommy is that Alan does reference that Tommy Gaskell is the first guest they've had on North North at Digital who's killed someone deliberately.
Because the weatherman ran over someone accidentally, or so he says.
Yeah, exactly.
And also Alan has as well.
Yeah, very true.
He shot a man. Paul McAllister. Yeah.
Straight through the heart.
Yeah,
anti-dueling pistols.
That was accidental.
Had you forgotten about that?
Let's move on.
You were briefly mindless.
Yeah.
That kind of... That brings us to a conclusion with Tommy Gaskell, pretty much, yeah. I just also had a note that I quite enjoyed the kind of inane grin on Alan's face at the end of the episode as he goes to play a song.
Yeah.
There's some great face acting from Coogan there as well. I don't know if anyone else got anything else. I just had a couple of notes on the credits.
The only other thing I said that, do we each want to have a go? Have you got the tongue twister down in front of you?
Oh, God, I'm rubbish at those.
I don't have it.
Okay, it is.
Okay.
Oh, no, I've got it.
I've got it. Oh, want to have a go?
He's not read his own notes.
Want to have a go?
To tackle tough Taliban terrorists to topple totalitarian tyrants.
Very good.
Very nice. You've nailed it. Does that mean we don't need to do it? Is that fine?
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well done.
Good.
Thank you.
Right.
Get your decomposition.
Did anyone else note that Martin Coogan of the Mock Turtles fame composed a theme tune for this?
I did not.
No.
Keep it in the family, Steve.
Nice
like
trivia.
It. Very
That's
clever.
Missing
Very good.
That's yes. missing from the IMDb page.
Get that Bunsen. Yeah. Right. Has anybody got anything else on Mid-Morning Matters? Series 1, Episode 1.
No. I think that pretty much brings us to an end.
Okay. Cool. Well, yeah, that kind of concludes the episode. It's probably just worth mentioning, if you want to get in touch about anything we've said, because we've probably made lots of factual inaccuracies.
Always.
You can email us on thepartridgepod@gmail.com. You can reach us on Twitter, facebook.com/thepartridgepod. hang on.
He's really thinking. Everyone look at him as well.
Adam normally does this, and I'm now realising it's actually quite
also,
hard
when
to
we
get
mess
it
up,
right.
We're recording, so we can just edit it and cut
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, no, this will sound fine, so only these guys really know what happened.
Yeah.
So you can get in touch on thepartridgepod@gmail.com. Just going to read it off the screen there. Facebook, we're The Partridge Pod. Twitter, @ThePartridgePod. And Instagram, @MonkeyTennisPod.
He's done
so,
it.
So inconsistent, but... it's all there.
Is now an appropriate time for me to plug my Deacon Blue podcast?
I think we've got to move on. So thanks very much for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Monkey Tennis. Smully Alan Fartridge. Linton Trumpet Town seems an obvious choice. Monkey Tennis at the BBC of all places. Be real. Monkey Tennis. Where's my assistant? I do not know. Monkey Tennis. I wish things had turned out differently, but I'm glad they didn't. Monkey Tennis?
It will be called Alan's Show. I decided, and would be absolutely ace.
Monkey tennis?
But needless to say, I had the last laugh.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.